Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper, Maynard, put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
One of the things I immediately missed the most was the legend Dean Pope's office. Olin Kruch, Roberto Garza, Patrick Manley. We never talk football. We talk trash.
Craft Beer Mogul.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I'm drinking a long snapper IPA.
That's after Patrick Manley.
This loss still bothers me, and I'm not part of the team. We're kind of at a crossroads. I feel like this is just one of those games that maybe either they come back together like they did before when they had the, you know, the big meeting or whatever, but or if it goes the other way. It just doesn't feel good right now.
Patrick Manley with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's a good guy to talk to considering what's been going on with the Bears and what's ahead of the Bears, which is a really interesting and now super important game for them out in Arizona. Patrick Manley now joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us as per usual. You've had a few days to really sit with this and talk with people about this. How do you feel about watching all of this stuff play out?
I'm on to Arizona. That's it. I'm on to Arizona. No, I've thought about this, and you know, I was a little passionate yesterday with the midday show, and it was a hard loss, right? It's a game where you thought they were going to win right at the end, and you're celebrating like Tyreek Stevenson was, and you know, it was a mistake with everything he did, but you were hoping that this was going to be a little bit of a turning point where they beat a winning team after beating some bad teams, and then it didn't happen. And then what gets me a little bit, and the more I've thought about it, is, you know, Coach Eberflus spoke today and basically said, I'm on to Arizona and we're dealing with everything in-house. But the more you think about it, and I kind of go between, you know, sitting where you guys are sitting and being a former player, is that the players kind of put their head coach in this position, right? So four captains came out and openly called out their head coach and the coaching and the positions they were put in. And I don't like that. So I don't like that they've done that to their head coach. But like in that opening there, this is something maybe you can rally around, right? Maybe this is something they do keep in-house. And if they are that close of a team, that they do say, hey, man, all right, maybe we need to keep our mouth quiet a little bit and let's worry about keep this in-house. And it brings them together. We'll see. But it's just been an interesting week. And it's just amazing because that darn Hail Mary turned into what it did with all what we're talking about this week.
Patrick, I'm in a weird spot because I kind of feel like you do, where, and I don't know if it's wish casting, there's a part of me because of teams that I have been on, that mm-hmm. there's a part of me because I'm trying to see better angels as I get older, that I go, you know what? This could be a good thing. It could end up being a good thing. And I'm stuck because I'm also fairly cynical when it comes mm-hmm. to how professional sure. teams work. And it feels like stuff that I saw as a reporter when things would go bad for a team. Like these are usually like, this is like step two of things devolving for a team and it being bad.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I lived through it in 2013. I talked about it a little bit yesterday. And that's what was interesting was being a part of that team where we were just looking around like, what's going on? Something's not right here. There's some coaching that's just not good enough. Like the vibe isn't right. And I got scared a little bit yesterday is that's what's going on for the guys to go out that much and speak publicly on these airwaves to reporters and just say as much as they did. I was like, whoa, we were a different locker room. Every locker room's different. It's different era, all that kind of stuff. I understand. But to hear what they said, I was just like, wait, this is kind of what I felt in 2013. And Spieg, sitting next to you in 2014, we talked about it and I got a little more vocal and open about what was going on in the locker room. And I guess there's two things. I'm nervous that's what's going on because I don't want to see that happen. And then hopefully it's not. I'm like you, Lawrence. I want it to be the other way around, that this does bring them together. Hey, it's 1 week, man. The player made a mistake. Maybe we shouldn't have spoke as much, or maybe we should have, and that does bring us together. So we will see. But it's an interesting time right now, and thank God we're there 4-3. If they were like 2-5, this I think would be blowing up a lot more.
I think this is fascinating to have an opportunity to talk with you about that Mark Trestman era and how it blew up, and this moment where we are, because it is a really weird moment. Mark Trestman didn't tell you guys the truth about accountability privately, though, right? Mm-hmm. This is what we're hoping that Matt Eberflus is doing, that he's saying, hey, you stunk on that, or you did that wrong. Let's fix it. And and the inverse, I stunk on that. I made the wrong call. Like, you needed a coach to do that, and Mark Trestman wasn't doing that, correct? We hope Eberflus is.
Yeah, and then what scared me the most, I think, was Jalen Johnson talking about practice, of them not calling them out or redoing plays. So in 2013, whatever, that's year 16 for me. I've been through a lot of practices. I had my helmet and I sat on my knee and watched a lot of practices. Let's put it that way. And I know what a good practice was. And I saw some bad practice and I saw some lapse in practicing and they wouldn't redo plays. And the next thing you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, we're huddled up as a team and he would say, man, that was a great practice. And I'm looking around like, what do you mean that's a great practice? So to me, what I saw is the standard being slipped and guys were able to get away with a little bit more and we weren't paying attention to details. And then it kind of blew up the next year. And then, you know, we had an okay year and we messed up at the last game or whatever, but it blew up the next year. And that just what scared me a little bit hearing Jalen Johnson say that. But now, in the positive side, if they really are together as a players and coaches now, that a player can turn around and be like, hey, coach, I'm not happy with this play. Let's run it again. Let's please run this again. We need to get this right. So hopefully that does happen. And that's what scared me the most, I think, is when I heard Jalen Johnson talk.
Agreed. So could you have a culture built by players to this extent? 8 captains, 4 of them spoke up this week, as you mentioned. The fact that they have stepped up and changed the way the offense does things 3 weeks ago, and now this week they have spoken up. And, you know, we'll see what kind of change comes out this. Can you have a successful team? Can you be a playoff team, a good culture, when the players run things as much as it seems like they do?
My honest answer is I've been gone too long to kind of say yes or no on that. I just think the game has changed quite a bit. Practice has changed a bit. You know, it's a different dynamic, I think, between players and coaches. I think across all leagues, too. I think it's just – players have more money now, especially the NFL. So I think that's changed. So I can't give you an answer, like a real answer on that. But my opinion on that is, yeah, I think it can. If that's the way the culture's going and that's the way the bounce back and forth is going to happen, you know, in baseball, guys make a blank ton of money. I think it's a little different there than it was football 10 years ago. Basketball, I know it is. I have some friends in the basketball they play in the NBA. It's a little different between them. So I think a lot has to do with how much money the players made. I can't give you an honest answer, but I do think it can work, in my opinion. Yeah.
It's fascinating. I love the honesty because I think we're seeing what feels like it could be a shift in the dynamic sometimes between powerful players and a coach.
We've kind of talked about it a little bit too, Patrick, where the world is so different. And the level of empowerment and – honestly, like the ability, and I think that this is a net positive, the ability of younger people to be more expressive and kind of ask for what they want. And I do think for those of us that, because we're all around the same age, that it's weird for us. Like, that's why I'm in the weird place, Patrick, because I don't know. I do know that this is how my students communicate. Sure. And they see that as like the honesty the realness, they see that as the ultimate positive. So you go, well, wait, if they're manifesting this and they're able to get what they need out of it, then maybe it's all worth it, and maybe it all works out.
Hmm.
But I'm terrified that Matt Eberflus might be like an old enough school guy to be like, ah, you know, we're doing what we're doing no matter what, and I'm not used to having to be accountable to this level, both privately and publicly.
And again, let me say, I think the athlete is different too. So when I was finishing up, Facebook was coming out, Instagram was coming out, Twitter was coming out. Now guys have voices. And Lawrence, when you would get stuff from us, it kind of had to be one-on-one. I think now guys feel a lot more comfortable. You know, you have three guys on your radio station now, or our radio station now, that speak, and they speak clearly and out there. They give you all the info you want to hear. And I think a lot has to do with because of what they have in their hand, and they feel comfortable enough, and they're in a position now where everybody has that avenue to go out there and speak their mind. And I think that's maybe something different that a coach has to deal with. That we all had one message in our locker room. We were, you know, a couple captains that talk, but now everybody can talk. They can talk on all different platforms. Cole has his podcast, which he's very good at, obviously, and he can speak his mind. But I think the athlete now is just different because of what they have in their hand, large iPad or whatever they have, that they can get, they can give their honest opinion.
That's a good callback.
But they can give their honest opinion, and they can put themselves out there. I think they feel a lot more comfortable speaking individually than we used to back, you know, 10 years. And that's amazing. It's just 10 years ago.
In the Zoom that we get in to form what is the Twitch stream, Patrick is listed as Pat's large iPad. And we are imagining that it's the size of a bed sheet, just like a twin bed, Lawrence, not a queen or anything.
It's a projector.
But there's one size, there's a small iPad, but you are using the large one, and we appreciate it.
But not anymore, right, Pat? Like, you texted me before, you said, hey, yes, just look at my name today. Yeah. Now it just says Patrick. So what was it supposed to say?
Oh, man.
I went through about three or four, and it's some reason it now puts just Patrick up there. So I'm going to work on.
That's boring.
So as we Zoom, yes, 100%. As we Zoom, as the weeks go along, there'll be some different names up there. It was going to be my iPad's larger than Shane's iPad.
Don't brag.
I call bull, dude. Show me your iPad.
My money's on the 16-year NFLer and Arnold Palmer. In that order.
That's enough of that. All right. Well, Patrick, the football aspect we haven't spent as much.
By the way, Lawrence, welcome to the afternoon show.
I know, right?
Thanks for reeling us back in. Uh-huh.
That's what they pay me the medium bucks for. So look, the football we haven't touched on a bunch on the show, but there was some stuff that was upsetting watching the offense struggle. When you went and broke down the tape, why did the offense struggle until super late in the third quarter?
I mean, it's one of those things when they were a bad team, it's honestly everything, and it's an easy answer to say, but Caleb looked nervous. He missed a lot of throws. There were a couple – Keenan Allen was open on one, right down the middle. Nobody's the behind-the-back throw – or behind Keenan on one. The run game was not good. The fits on the double teams, there are a few of them. They came off at the wrong time, so linebackers were running free. Then obviously the injuries hurt him. And then it just was everything was going wrong, and that's a sign of a bad offense. But it's unfortunate that darn Hail Mary happened, because Olin talked about it. We were going to talk about it on the post-game show, and we should be talking about this week, of what Caleb did in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? That's the thing we should be talking about. He's the guy. That's what gets me excited about him. In the fourth quarter, he took him down and had a chance to win the game. Oh, another thing about the team. In the first half, Caleb Williams takes him down, a minute 11 to go in the second quarter.
Yes.
They're like on the 30-yard line. The offensive line is discombobulated. There's some chaos going on, and he's clapping his hands, wanting the ball. And this is another problem with the offense. Shane Waldron should have called timeout. They had two timeouts left to go, a minute 11 on the 30-yard line. They call timeout. If they don't get any more yards, they get 3 points there at the half. Then we're praising Caleb on getting more points at the half, right? So it was all bad, but that's something that could have been better and made it better. But all of a sudden, the next thing you know, Caleb became Caleb. The throw he made to DJ in the fourth quarter with the pressure coming in his face, the throw he made to DeAndre Carter, that's the stuff you want to see. But sorry for the long-winded answer, but the first quarter, just everybody was wrong. Everybody was off. The run game was off. Caleb was off. It looked like the receivers off. There was one time it looked like that Rome was supposed to sit when it was in zone, and he kept drifting, and he threw behind him. So it was just everything was going off. But I got to give credit to Caleb in the fourth quarter when it counts. He tightened those screws down and looked pretty damn good.
Agreed. Caleb Williams spoke today. You'll hear from him in our 5 o'clock hour, a bunch of Bears sound in our 5 o'clock hour.
Some exclusive sound from the locker room that no one else has. Mark Grody has.
Yeah, so it should be a very action-packed Bearsy 5 o'clock hour. The injury report did come out, Pat, and Kieran Amagaje is not even going to be able to go. Braxton Jones, a DNP. So you might be at what? Matt Pryor, left tackle. And does it Nate Davis slide back in and become active? Nate Davis, you never left. Ryan Bates, though, was designated for return, and he was limited in practice. Larry Borum practiced in full. So I don't know what the hell we're going to have on the offensive line. Do you?
No, none of us do. And here's what makes me nervous about that, too, is Larry Borum last week, if I'm wrong, got to practice in pads, correct? He was brought back last week, and Ryan Bates was not. And they had a walkthrough today.
Mm-hmm.
So most of these guys have not worn pads or hit another defensive lineman in weeks. So to put them out there, if that's all you have, that's all you have, right? But to go out there and really go in through a walkthrough today, and I'll probably walk through tomorrow just because they're still limited, you're going to throw guys out there if Ryan Bates is healthy and Larry Borum can play, that has not hit another D lineman in how many weeks? So that does scare me a little bit. But, yeah, that just scares me. I had a reporter talk. We talked to a reporter yesterday. He's like, have you ever been through a week where you had to have a walkthrough on a Wednesday? And I was like, yeah, we had to. And I joked with him. I go, is it because they're having to relearn how to walk through, like everything they were talking about, not paying attention to the details? But no, we have, because you had too many injuries. You didn't want the O-lineman and D-lineman if you were down low on them. I think it was D-lineman the year I was talking about. You have to have a scout team, so they can't do both. You can't wear out their legs, but it's unfortunate the situation they're in. And I'm just nervous about if Ryan Bates comes back and Larry Borum comes back. I'm happy they're healthy, but they haven't hit anybody.
When you look at Arizona, what do you see?
I kind of Kyler Murray is having this thing going. I heard you guys turn the page. Thank God we did turn the page, but Kyler Murray is that good. He's playing pretty well right now. You said 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's playing well. I do think this defense, I think they're giving up 140.3 yards a game in the run game. So if you are plugging in these linemen, don't have them pass block. Let's get this run game going. Continue that thing going. Simplify the game plan for those guys. And we've seen them do well against other lesser opponents, obviously, but in the run game the last couple weeks. So to me, if you're down on O-linemen, you just come out and run the rock. And this is a team that looks like you can do it on.
Pat, has your father-in-law been locked in on Dodgers-Yankees? For those who don't know, Pat Manley's father-in-law is Tommy John. He's the last Yankees pitcher to start a game against the Dodgers in the World Series before Garrett Cole in Game 1, right?
Yeah, he got pulled in the fourth inning. I think it was tied 1-1 or 2-2, and they lost 9-4 or something. So dumb managerial move there, but we don't need to go there. But, yes, he is excited. And I got to ask him, I said, who are you pulling for? Because I've gotten texts from everybody. Who are you pulling for? He goes, I don't care. He's just so excited to see the Dodgers-Yankees play. So so if everybody, I don't know, I didn't get back to all my texts, but if anybody in Chicago is listening, yeah, he just wants to see a good series, and unfortunately it doesn't look that way right now, but he doesn't care. He's a huge fan of both organizations.
Some might argue that a similarly bad managerial move happened in Game 1 with the Yankees.
You were saying the same thing. After 88 pitches, Garrett Cole got taken out in Game 1.
It made no sense.
They're going to have to pry that ball out of his hands tonight.
I would be in – well, they like doing that at Yankee Stadium, apparently.
Hey, Speaks.
I walked you right there, baby.
Speaks, you know I'm a huge baseball fan. But that Game 1, those final 3 or 4 innings, man, that was a show.
Yeah. Electric.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was amazing. That's as good as baseball gets, in my opinion.
Hey, do you realize who the new White Sox manager's little brother is, Pat Manley?
I do. He's my former teammate.
Yes.
Winston.
Yes, Winston.
There for
Winston
the greatest.
Winston was a good player, man.
He was
Winston was a good
part
he
of the greatest.
There in 2011.
The greatest special teams play that never happened.
Yeah. But there's something I do. Like, all right. I got to play with a lot of players, and he was memorable. I remember he came in from Boise State, and he was a guy that kind of knew he wasn't going to be a DB. And he's like, I want to be a special teamer. And that's all he cared about. He was there. He'd work his butt off. I think he played four phases, paid attention to detail. And he's another one of those guys that played 1,000 miles an hour. So I played with a lot of guys, and that's a guy for 1 year of my career I played with. I can remember pretty much everything about him just because he played so hard and cared so much to be in that room and play with us.
Thank you for giving us something to play for him when he joins the radio show tomorrow to talk about his brother, the manager.
Oh, yeah. He was great, man. He's a smart dude and just an effort guy, man. He's a great teammate.
Patrick, so are you. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right, have a good day, guys.
Thank you, sir.
It's Patrick Manley. He's great. Let's talk about what happened at Yankee Stadium yesterday.
Those guys, man. Those Jamokes. They looked like extras from The Honeymooners. That was my favorite description that somebody tweeted.
Yeah.
They looked like absolute caricatures of a 1950s New Yorker.
Or a 2024 New Yorker. We'll talk about that in the coverage of it next here on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.